Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you on this Thursday morning, the 10th of July. We are officially in lockdown, so good luck to everyone over the next 6 weeks. We're in it for the long haul, at least. This time we've got a little bit of sport along with racing to keep us company. Let's start with the footy world. Tom Lynch, yes, from the hub on his hand.
So I did a bit of running today, which went well. So, yeah, obviously can run with a broken hand. So that's one thing you can do. So I'll hopefully train Friday and then, press to play Sunday. So we'll see how it goes. Doc's sort of 50-50 at the moment.
Scott Pendlebury on Life Inside the Hub.
I'm happy to do it and play our part in keeping the game going, but I'm not happy to do it at the cost of my family. So that's all right. That's where I sit on the issue.
And also, ahead of footy tonight, of course it is Thursday, Geelong taking on Brisbane at the SCG. Chris Fagan speaking yesterday.
No, we're looking forward to it. You know, we've been in Brisbane for the last 3 or 4 months, so I think a change of scenery will be good for us. You know, we're treating tomorrow night's game really like an interstate trip sort of game, travelling down the day before and preparing the normal way, and then we'll get to experience a bit of hub life after that.
Plenty to come on the show today, plus we'll get some tributes for Alex Ciampi-Pullin, as you heard in the news, and I'm sure you heard yesterday, the Australian Winter Olympics superstar, two-time world snowboard champion, has passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 32 in a tragic accident yesterday.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget as well, after 6 this morning, the Breakfast Club returns, which should be a chock-a-block show as well. Whitey's turn today for the rock. Then, of course, the 7-question quiz in the early mail all before 7 o'clock this morning. Brad Johnson from the Western Bulldogs, part of the Breakfast Club team, will be on the phone from 7 o'clock this morning to chat about everything AFL, and we'll take a very close look at tonight's clash between Geelong and Brisbane in Sydney. That sounds very strange to say. Scott Jamieson will talk to us after 7:30. Looking forward to hearing from Scott. He's tried to get out of Victoria twice, and things not going as they had planned in the A-League for the three Victorian teams, especially trying to get into that New South Wales hub to finish their season, which started all the way back at the start of October last year. So it is the longest season in the history of seasons. Maybe they would be better just to award Sydney the championship, considering they're that far ahead. Scott Jamieson will join the guys after 7:30. Jason Johnson from Dynamic Food, eating healthy and nutritiously. That's interesting now, considering we're back in lockdown. Maybe a couple of those tips will come in handy again over the next 6 weeks. Dylan Scheel after 8 o'clock from the Bombers. He'll join us in the Inner Sanctum. And Dave Donaghy from the Melbourne Storm. He is the CEO, and he'll give us an update on everything Melbourne Storm. Yesterday, a big announcement. We'll hear from Cameron Smith and his thoughts on those announcements yesterday about the Storm's home for the remainder of the season very shortly. Let's start, though, with the footy news. And as you heard, it is Geelong facing Brisbane tonight at the SCG. The first game in the hub for the Cats, and this is going to be it's the new normal, really. It's going to be fascinating to see how everything shakes out. Let's have a listen to Chris Fagan on leaving Brisbane before we get to the teams.
You know, we've been in Brisbane for the last 3 or 4 months, so I think a change of scenery will be good for us. You know, we're treating tomorrow night's game really like an interstate trip sort of game, travelling down the day before and preparing the normal way, and then we'll get to experience a bit of hub life after that, which is not too different to what we've been living in any case. So it's always about embracing the challenge. I wasn't in the hubs with them, so I don't know how they actually handled it, and I don't know, and I haven't spoken to anyone from those clubs. So we'll just find our own pathway. We'll embrace all the challenges that are there. And enjoy each other's company. Yeah, we just know we've got two games at the moment. There could be another one. I do know that we have to stay down there for 14 or 15 days because we're playing Geelong and they're from a Melbourne-based team. We're going to be at least there for 14 days afterwards, and so that means that we'll either stay in Sydney and play again, or we'll come back here late that week and play up here, but we don't know, so we'll just wait and see on that. We'll just handle whatever comes our way.
There we go, the coach of Brisbane speaking yesterday. What about Dane Zorko? Will he be playing?
The problem that he had is fixed. As I said last week, it was a plantaris problem, and that fully ruptured, so the problem's gone. We'll just, like all of our players, monitor his progress and make sure that, you know, every week when we play, if it becomes compressed, that we put out 22 players that are the best ready to go.
There we go, the old plantaris problem. Not quite sure what that is, but Dane Zorko is back for the Lions. Good news for them. Cam Ellis-Yolman also has been omitted. So Zorko for Ellis-Yolman. Nice upgrade there for the Brisbane Lions, getting their captain back. Meanwhile, at Geelong, just the one change. Jack Stephen is out of the lineup and Scott Simpson comes into the team. Let's listen to Tom Hawkins, who has got a blockbuster full forward v full back old school battle tonight against Harris Andrews. Should be a ripper.
Yeah, he's obviously, he's a gun. Young player, youngish player that's is really mature. I've had the opportunity to play with Harris early on in the year in the Bushfires game. So, it's going to be a huge challenge for me. I'm always look forward to playing on really good defenders. Sometimes it doesn't go your way, but I look forward to the challenge of playing on him, and maybe for once I might have smaller ears than my opponent.
Tom Hawkins speaking yesterday. He also had his own response to lockdown in Melbourne. Of course, the Cats getting out of here at the start of the week.
Yeah, it was obviously a bit of a concern, first and foremost, for the health of everyone inside Victoria, but for my family in particular, who are back in Geelong. So it's obviously not the best news, but we'll just keep working through what the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks looks like for them, and try and make decisions that puts them in the best position they can, where they feel safe and supported. So that's first and foremost. And then, and from the competition's point of view, well, who knows what it's going to look like, Clint? I really don't know as a player. From our point of view, I know there'll be, we're playing in Sydney and then we're going to Perth. I know there'll be a lot of work being done behind the scenes. As a player, I just be expected that things may change, whether that's games on the way home, whether that's tighter turnarounds, I'm not sure. We'll get that information when it comes to us, but it's obviously going to change the landscape again. But those that have been in decision-making positions have done an excellent job in trying to navigate their way through it. So I'm sure that they will continue to try and make the best decision for the game, but hopefully as well for the well-being of those participating and travelling away from their loved ones.
Tom Hawkins there speaking yesterday. Now to the Melbourne Storm. They announced that their next couple of games will be at Sunshine Coast Stadium, so not having to travel down to Brisbane, which would have been a little annoying for the last couple of weeks. But good news that they've secured a home away from home for the next three NRL home games, and then after that they may well stay there for the remainder of the season, but we will just wait and see. Cameron Smith says it's nice to get some clarity at least for the immediate future.
Yeah, well, we weren't quite sure what our home games were going to look like, whether we'd have to travel to Brisbane each time to play down there, but I can tell you all the guys are really happy about hearing the news about, you know, getting the opportunity to play at Sunshine Coast Stadium. Not only it's a great venue, but I think the community will relish the opportunity to see some top flight rugby league, as the Mayor said. Given half of our squad actually play here at the Sunshine Coast Falcons. Yeah, I think it fits really well with our organisation. I had the opportunity quite some time ago to be based on the Sunshine Coast with the Queensland State of Origin side, and there's a huge interest in rugby league, particularly at a junior level. So I think it's great for our game. It's great for the Sunshine Coast community, and our entire squad are really looking forward to playing here.
Cameron Smith speaking yesterday on the Sunshine Coast. He also spoke about the ups and downs of hub life and being all over the place away from their homes in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's challenging because, you know, I've heard a lot of comments over the last sort of week and a half about, you know, our organisation or our team, you know, being relocated to the Sunshine Coast. And this time of the year, I can, you know, guarantee you it's a really nice place to be in winter. But, you know, our home is Melbourne, and we haven't forgotten that. You know, there are still some of our families and some of our loved ones back there. Particularly, you know, the situation that Victoria is facing at the moment in lockdown. It's a terrible situation, and we haven't forgotten who's back there as well. That's all of our members and all of our fans of the Melbourne Storm. And although we're based up here and it's warmer and it's sunny, we haven't forgotten who we're playing for and who we're representing this year. So I'd like to think that, you know, you look at our efforts last week against the Roosters, certainly shows that we're proud of the jersey we're wearing, we're proud of who we're representing, and that's the people of Melbourne and the people of Victoria. You know, but as I said, you know, this is a pretty good place to be, but at the same time, it is challenging, you know, because it's... It happened quickly. The move happened quickly. We were given sort of 36 hours to uproot everything and move. But, you know, we're doing our very best to get on with business. We've got a pretty resilient group at the moment, headed by, you know, Craig Bellamy, who, you know, he gets very tunnel vision with his work, and he's got great work ethic, and that just breeds through our group. So if there's times or days where guys are struggling a bit, you know, we all help each other out and get through it and get on with business.
Cameron Smith there speaking yesterday on the Sunshine Coast. So good luck to the Melbourne Storm. We are thinking them as well, away from their families and a lot of their friends in Melbourne. Time for a break at 14 to 6 on your Thursday morning. Don't forget Thursday night footy tonight, Geelong v Brisbane. Plenty of other footy news floating around as well. We'll get to Nathan Buckley after the break and also hear from Ian Chesterman after the loss, the tragic loss yesterday of Alex Chumpy-Pullen.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Bowled him. Excellent delivery. The ball before was just about tossed up. This one, perfect.
Dom Sibley out for a duck last night. England 1 for 35 at stumps. There was a lot of rain. It was a typical English summer day. A lot of rain. Didn't get started for ages. And then after they finally got clearance to play, after taking an early lunch, Sibley went out. He was out for a duck. Rory Burns is still there. 20 not out, and Joe Denley 14 not out. So England at stumps on day one. Test cricket has returned against the West Indies, 1 for 35. Dom Sibley lost about 12 or 13 kilos as well in lockdown. Maybe should have had a bit more KFC on his way through to opening the batting in Test cricket's return. But it is nice to have it back, as we watched it last night from England, even though it wasn't much. Hopefully more cricket to be played on day two. Let's have a listen to what Brendan Julian had to say on Fox Sports yesterday about the proposed test series between Australia and New Zealand that may happen in October.
Nothing will happen unless they sort out the IPL first, and I think everything will fall around the IPL. Once the IPL locks in, boards will then sort out their test series and summer series, because at the end of the day, the money that's going around in the IPL, the contracts that have been signed, and the broadcast rights for the IPL... You won't get India out here, mate, if the IPL is on round of October, November, or slides in December. So that IPL needs to be sorted out, and that's just the part of the way the world is at the moment with the amount of money going around in India. I think boards would be silly to try and hold back players given the fact that they're losing out on money anyway. I mean, yes, I agree that the Test match cricket is the pinnacle, but there are a lot of players out there that will rely on the IPL contract and IPL money. You know, not only Australians, but West Indians, you know, they don't get paid a lot of money. The Pakistan cricketers as well, English cricketers as well. So they're not going to forego that amount of money, I don't think, to clash with Test cricket around the world.
Yesterday it was the sad news, of course, and front page of the Herald Sun today. Alex Ciampi-Pullin, who carried the flag at the 2014 Olympics for Australia, two-time snowboarding world champion, unfortunately passed away. He drowned yesterday in a tragic accident just off the Gold Coast. Last night on Channel 7, as well as the thousands of tributes that have come in from all over the world on Twitter and social media channels, Ian Chesterman spoke about the time he was able to ring our champion snowboarder and offer him the opportunity to carry the flag.
It's an unbelievable blow to everybody who knew and loved Ciampi, which were many, many people. His impact on our winter sport's been huge over the last 10 years. And when the news came through today that we'd lost him, it really, put a hole in all our hearts. And certainly our great sympathies go out to his family and his friends, his loved ones. That's right, Ian. He had a great passion for snow sports, obviously, and he had a great passion for water sports. He was very good on the surfboard, and he just loved that whole outdoors adventure lifestyle. He was a talented musician as well. He was a character who was larger than life in so many ways, and somebody who was really important to us in being able to take winter sports forward. To lose someone like that at just age 32 is absolutely devastating. Yeah, when I had to make a decision as to who would carry the flag in 2014, Ciampi was one of the people that was on the list, and in the end, you know, he got chosen to carry the flag. I did that because I thought he really represented the Australian population at the time, the team at the time. It was a young team. He was well known amongst the population. They liked him, so I knew he'd had great support within the team and within the Australian population. It will forever remain with me a great memory of when I had to ask him if he'd carry the flag. Of course, he said yes. He was absolutely delighted. But then he was also so proud. He's a very proud Australian, very proud to be part of that Olympic team, all three of his Olympic teams. And he was proud of his role in leading Australian winter sports, because we have not had a huge number of leaders in our sports, people who have been out and out champions. And he was certainly one of those, and he came along at an important time, not just for his sport of snowboard cross, yeah, but also our overall Olympic team.
Rest in peace, Ciampi-Pullin. He was just 32 years of age. Let's head now to the golfing world, where there was a little bit of news yesterday. The Ryder Cup, first of all, was scheduled for the 25th to the 27th of September this year. It is going to be rescheduled to next year in September. So that news coming through overnight and late yesterday. The President's Cup as well has been delayed from 2021. It'll now be held in September 2022. So a little while longer for us to wait until the next two blockbuster team events in the world of golf. Some unfortunate news there. Just teeing off a little later tonight and tomorrow, Aaron Baddeley, Matt Jones, Jason Day, Cameron Davis, Mark Leishman, and Cameron Percy are all part of the field at the Workday Charity Open. So we'll keep you updated on that over in the US, on the US tour. So that'll start a little later, which is good news. The Seagulf still kicking along, despite there being no one in the crowd or no one being able to walk with the players or the caddies themselves. Let's head back to the footy world just to finish the breakfast bite on your Thursday morning. We'll start down at the Pies. One of the biggest issues has been the off-field issues for Collingwood at the moment. Nathan Buckley had his say on how he's trying to take his mind off it at the moment.
Yeah, I think we've been pretty open with that. You know, obviously, Geordie's matters in, you know, from 2015 is in the hands of police now. You know, Steele's has been well documented, and you know, I'm yet to see Steele face to face. So he's over in Perth, and when, you know, when he reassimilates to the program, we'll get a chance to have some conversations with Steele to close that loop. And I suppose yeah, the club has appointed an independent arbitrator or investigator for the the claims around Heritier's experience, which, you know, which we hope to learn and grow from and look forward to be better in that space. So it may seem from the outside that there's a lot going on, and I would say that we are addressing all of these issues. We constantly are addressing how we can be better, how we can provide a better environment, one, for our people internally, how we can represent our members and our supporters as best we possibly can, both on and off the field. We don't anticipate that there's going to be significant impacts beyond his four-week ban through the AFL. And that, you know, is something that would be taken into consideration, given that that's a fair penalty for not just for Steele, but for the rest of the football club, not having him on the field for 4 weeks. We will address Steele and what his learnings from this and our learnings from it. When we get the opportunity to speak to him.
And one big talking point, I'm sure, throughout the next couple of days, especially at the start of this Melbourne lockdown, will be the AFL Grand Final. Will it be played outside of Melbourne? This was Carolyn Wilson last night on Footy Classified on Channel 9.
Well, we'll kick off with the Grand Final, Ed. I think that there's every chance now, and I know it came up in the President and CEO's hookup this morning, that the Grand Final will leave Victoria. I know you've been very strong that there's a contract in place and it won't move, but I think you've changed your position too, given the situation.
Can I just say this? And it is, the AFL Grand Final will be played at the MCG, unless it can't be, unless there's no crowd. And now everyone is opening up their minds to what could be.
So Sydney is framing as the favourite at the moment. Obviously, this would be a fantastic thing for the AFL's push into the northern markets. ANZ Stadium seems to be the ground where... And here we're looking at the 2016 qualifying final, where they got 60,000 people, saw the Giants...
They got 75,000 there, Caroline, for Collingwood and Sydney that time, that when it was a one-off game. When there was one game of football, it was the record crowd at that stadium.
And this is 60,000 for GWS, which was unbelievable. But anyway, I think that they were going to tear the stadium down, Ross. They were going to reconfigure it again. That hasn't happened for financial reasons. Sydney have made a strong push. And Sydney are the flavour of the month with the AFL at the moment because they've done the right thing by the AFL. Gladys Berejiklian in letting the players move into Sydney and keep the AFL season alive, really, Ed. So I think Sydney are very much in there.
Caroline Wilson on Channel 9 last night. I'm sure that'll be a topic of discussion on The Breakfast Club coming up after the 6.